This fan-run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. The show that...
Yep, that's what I thought.
Fan-run radio.
Today, we are here to move volunteer athletics forward to greatness. It is my sincere honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Danny White to the great University of Tennessee.
Really excited to be here. So proud to step into this unbelievable opportunity. I've never worked at the big brand place until now, and I actually like the fact that the brand needs to be polished a little bit. Let's build some positive momentum. If you're upset or you're negative, text your buddy. Don't put it on social media.
No. You were doing fine. You had been courteous and you had established trust. And now this ham-handed segue. It won't do.
Dance. Of the people that we hire, a head coach that I can trust unequivocally. We obviously have some work to do on our football program, as the Chancellor mentioned, from a leadership standpoint and, candidly, a competitive standpoint.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville, Thursday edition of the program. I just realized I don't think Adam said anything since I came in.
No, I haven't. I've been very quiet.
Yeah.
A little sleepier than usual.
Adam Hickman, ladies and gentlemen. We got Davey Hudson. We got Houston Kress. I'm Nate Hodges. It's 3 and Out.
Yeah.
We're excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pruitt would have won 9 games, huh?
Oh, boy.
The takes from some people in this fan base.
Well, they're the intelligent portion of the fan base, right, Dave?
Something along those lines.
Just ask them. They'll tell you all about it.
Goodness gracious.
I'm just glad we survived all those lawsuits. Came out on the other side. Oh, wait. That's right. That's right. There were none that I know of.
Wait, what's the lawsuit thing?
Dude, we're the downfall of the program.
Yeah, like I've heard that Pruitt's lawyers.
Oh, you meant us.
Yeah.
Not Tennessee.
No.
Oh.
No, we, yeah. Yeah. There are.
So some guy's going around Twitter saying that we're out of business.
Right.
Even though we're on the radio right this second.
Yep, said Pruitt's attorneys took us to the woodshed. It's gold, isn't it?
I mean...
Have you heard anything about these lawsuits that allegedly have sunk in your station? You should be on top of this, Nate.
I blocked that account a long time ago.
He blocked me, so I can't see it either.
I mean...
I just can't believe you weren't on top of that,
man. If anybody's going to get sued, we should be suing him for spreading information about our station. A sponsor might see that and go, whoa, Fan Run might be in trouble. I might not want to sign my ad deal.
Oh, please, God, let's sue him. Can we please sue him? Please. Davey, write it up.
We already have Davey.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Write it up.
We survived the Catholic Church. We'll be fine.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
People think they can take us down. A lot of people have tried.
Sister Jean. Well, not her directly, but...
Yeah, not her, no.
People...
I don't know. She was probably like the... who's the Game of Thrones lady that's like, tell Cersei it was me?
Lady Tyrell.
No, yeah. Tyrell, yeah.
The Queen of Roses?
Yeah, something like that.
She's in the High Garden. I remember that much.
High Garden, yep.
Rose is their symbol. I need to read the books now. But there's still no ending, right? If he just write an ending for the books, I think I would read them.
I mean, no, you eventually. Wouldn't. You wouldn't. I mean, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I got other books to read.
Speaking of Game of Thrones.
That I don't read. Yeah?
Everything that is happening for the future landscape of college athletics is definitely Thrones-esque.
Well, Wes Rucker tried to take us down first. Went all the way to Chantier.
Was he the first?
That didn't work. Well, that was before he insulted us. That was way before.
Way before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The new Sentinel tried to mess with our business relationships very early on.
Yep.
That didn't work.
Remember that?
Well, I mean, it worked. We just went around it and then got stronger.
The sports source tried to take us down.
Yeah. Wes Rucker again.
Yeah.
He just takes shots, so he didn't really take us down. I shouldn't be too harsh there.
Let's see.
I will say, I don't think the sports animals play dirty. They just take shots too, you know. So that's good. What? Who?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I heard like music playing somewhere. That was weird.
Oh.
Sounded like an ice cream truck. Anyone else hear that? Just me? All right.
Just you.
Did you hear it, Hickman? Oh. Okay.
Man.
I got excited for some, you know, morning ice cream.
And now some random guy that used to pretend to be a student, and so he could go hang out with the players on Twitter.
Yeah, but he put out these depth charts, man, that were that were so cool.
Fire, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he had the different names for the buck and the star and the free safety or left safety. I can't remember, whichever it was.
Oh, there was that other FM station that tried to take down our FM, but that didn't work.
Oh, yeah.
We won that battle after.
Yeah.
Well, I've just come to realize if we would have kept Pruitt, we would have 9 wins this year. So.
Oh, I thought it was going to be, I thought it was 10.
I saw 9.
And now it's going to be very hard to win 9?
6-0 going into Ole Miss.
That's not impossible. But the roster is so depleted after we fired Pruitt. I say we as in this station.
Right.
Because, you know,
it was our fault.
Yes. And then the attorneys got us.
I love how it was our fault that we didn't get Greg Schiano, and now it's our fault that we didn't keep Jeremy Pruitt. I think there are very few fans that would agree that would be pro the first one, and I think there's one fan, just that one guy.
It seems like there is one. I've never seen anyone just gaslight for a dude who is
that's the definition
so bad.
Of gaslight, right? Yeah. Take something that's just so absurd and then try and just browbeat you with it to the point where you start.
And I think he believes it, so maybe it's not gaslighting because you do that intentionally. This man might just be delusional, which is weird because
I think most
he wasn't that way for a long time.
Maybe we need another word. I think most people that gaslight these days like actually believe their fairy tale is actually true.
Oh, okay, spinning. Then that's what this is.
Yeah,
because I think he believes it. He believes Jeremy Pruitt was God's gift to coaching. That he had us.
How
turning things around
at this juncture could make that claim with a straight face.
It's easier probably when you just have to type it out.
I don't think we have a large enough sample size to make that claim yet.
What?
You are drunk.
It takes about 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
I thought that was to build a program. Oh, no, it's 7 to 8 years to build a program, right?
So really, he was just in phase one. Okay, I heard the word noise that time.
Okay, good. So I'm not crazy.
I heard something.
I don't know what it sounds like when you walk into a, like a gas station, like bang.
Somebody have a open tab on a computer.
Mine's muted.
Maybe just slightly has the volume turned up. Now that was.
You heard that?
That happened. That was supposed to happen.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it from outside or?
No, that right there was just
okay. We'll figure this.
Got you. That was
Maybe that's what I'm hearing.
I bet that's what it was. Yeah.
Okay. Guys, we are less than a week away from the start of fall camp. We are 5 weeks to the day from Bowling Green.
Hang on, I'm still stuck on this Jeremy Pruitt thing.
Okay.
Is there a high school football coach in the state
high
of Tennessee?
High school football.
Even ones that you are unaware of. Would you take Jeremy Pruitt for this year's Tennessee team over any of them?
I guarantee you there are double-digit high school coaches across our great state that would coach infinitely better than Jeremy Pruitt. I would take a flyer on you name it.
Yeah,
we got two in Blount County that are better.
I think I'd throw a dart at the state of Tennessee blindfolded.
Seriously.
And whatever the closest high school that dart hit, I think I would take that coach over. I mean, he cheated his ass off, which I'm fine with if you win big.
And don't get caught.
But he had his own coaches running funds through players to other players.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
And still they sucked. And we, how do we catch heat on this? We should be getting crowns for this stuff.
Because Trey broke the story that Tennessee admitted that they were investigating themselves and that the NCAA was already involved. So because no one would have ever found out.
Right.
Ever.
If
Trey hadn't have written the article, allegedly.
Despite the fact that Trey's sources were inside the program.
And it had already been going on for a month or two.
The athletic department. Yeah.
And don't forget that it was people on the staff that turned them into compliance in the NCAA.
Dude, I wish I could make things up and trick myself into believing them.
I know.
That would be, I mean, that is a gift.
I mean, like I said, I just don't know how we survived all those lawsuits, man.
We're out of business.
I mean, how many hours did you spend being deposed?
Man, our business has never been better thanks to, you know, sports gambling.
That's true.
Well,
I like where we're at, Run.
What?
Created a little graphic instead of Fan Run Radio, we're Rat Run Radio.
Rat Run?
Yep.
You made that?
No, he did.
Oh, he
Rat
made that.
Run.
Why would I make that?
I don't know. I thought that's what he said.
Yeah, I thought it was a Coach K joke.
So we're rat. Yeah. So we're rats.
Because they ratted out Coach Pruitt.
His own staff ratted him out. Like Dondi said, someone came to me.
Yeah.
Personally.
That's a fact.
That's the rat. And I thank them. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, you cute little rat.
That rat needs a crown.
That is a splinter.
King or queen.
Master
them.
Splinter of the rats. I mean, good gravy. But Trey put it in print, so it's his fault. It's our fault. You signed off on it.
I did.
You're a monster.
I did. Trey was nervous.
That's why. Everyone thinks we went on vacation a couple weeks ago. Nope, we were just in the courts. All the different courts.
Fighting off the lawsuits.
Mm-hmm. What a... Oh, it's funny. It's funny because he believes it.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately has somehow convinced himself that all of that happened.
My brain doesn't even work that way. Like, I can't even think of some just farce that would be interesting that's completely untrue about Tennessee football.
Like when John Pennington said Gruden was at Calhoun's?
Yeah, like that.
Just made it up?
Yeah.
Yep, that was pretty good.
We just thought that one guy was Gruden. That at least has a logical...
Yeah, you saw the back of a guy's head.
Yeah.
It was just funny.
An illogical, like just some crazy, I don't know.
Like Danny White's running an underground drug ring through the players, probably.
Okay.
I don't know.
Now let's think of something good, like maybe was bad, but
we're gonna go 10-2. I can convince myself of it.
Like Fulmer,
okay,
is super smart. And when he interviewed all the coaches,
mm-hmm.
he knew Jeremy Pruitt really sucked. And okay. he wanted to just destroy Tennessee football forever.
Fulmer did.
So that 1998 would always be the pinnacle.
He didn't want to hire anyone better than he was.
He knew we were at the breaking point. We could never get back
right.
if he screwed this hire up.
And not only did he do that, but Jeremy Pruitt never cheated at all. It was all Philip Fulmer cheating. And then getting a rat to rat out his own program because he knew.
Used Pruitt as a scapegoat.
Yeah, he knew Dondi and Randy would not sacrifice. He knew that they would let him save face.
Mm.
So somehow, and Phil Fulmer had no interest in actually doing athletic director work at all.
Mm-hmm.
He was just trying to scuttle the ship so that hundreds of years from now, people go, man, that 1998.
Hundreds of years? Yeah.
And his legacy would be written forever.
And then to really sell it, he knew if he showed up in a tracksuit and just put a suit over, they would think he had no idea this
he
was
coming.
He knew
Davy Hudson would then assert that he wasn't ready for the press conference. He knew it all.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Smartest man in the room.
I don't know. That's not that's not even as crazy as
it's really not. Like it's not as crazy as this dude.
No.
It's really not. It's bananas. 6 days till fall camp. You excited? You ready?
You know what's really funny?
Oh boy.
Our competition is owned by a company that literally went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Still stayed on the air.
Yep.
Still the flagship station of mm-hmm. the Vols.
Yep.
And we it's so rich. Okay, we can do it now. 6 days?
6 days.
Till
next,
practice?
Next Wednesday.
They got to do a few days in pads and stuff.
Yeah,
though,
but
right?
They'll be on the field in the white cleats.
Oh, man.
Just looking fast. I'm excited about it.
Yep.
Oh, can't say that. Sorry.
I don't think you can. That one doesn't bother me like individual.
Yeah, Butch was the worst.
I discipline. Actually, a lot of people started using I discipline. He probably copied somebody that is successful in that one.
I'm sure we'll get more into football next week. But it's just a nice reminder. I mean,
five
weeks from today is opening game.
We're inside of 37 days.
Critical.
Critical. Individual. Eye discipline. 1%.
I thought it was...
Too many eye violations.
That is... Eye discipline is not as bad as that.
Eye violations.
Was
that worse?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've heard Charles Davis say eye discipline before.
Yeah, a lot of guys say eye discipline.
And as a secondary player, too. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
it's important.
Yeah, you don't want to get caught peeking.
Right.
Now, mm-hmm. I do like the winning is fragile. Because it is. If you really think about it.
I still love the 7 to 8 years to build a program. I mean, you talk about somebody who's like, trust me, don't fire me. I promise.
Like,
this
yeah.
is normal.
Yeah.
It's so... So classic.
Oh, and to reiterate and back up someone else's point.
What do we want out of our media?
Mm. Yeah. Mm. We do our research. Do you do your research? Got that one in there for us?
We do our research. Have you done your research?
Just a treasure.
That
box.
Might have been the meanest face I ever saw him make at somebody. You know, other than when he's turning purple
on
the sideline.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah. That F them all.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, to someone where other people could see. And, you know, it was a small setting. But, yeah, that was wild.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Best of luck.
It's going to. I'm looking forward to football practice starting. I'm looking forward to the games. If we lose by 50 to Alabama and Josh Heupel walks in the press conference and just sounds like a normal human being, mark my words, July 29th, I'm going to try not to complain about his coaching. Now, if we lose by at all to Bowling Green, I'll be critical. But if we get blasted just because this team is not that good this year, and Josh Heupel walks in the press conference and says, "Yeah, we just got to get better," just didn't play very well.
Did you watch any of his post game pressers from last year?
Mm-mm. Did you?
No, I just wonder what he sounds like after a loss.
As long, my guess is, all right. If I'm guessing, the way he could annoy me the most, it would be that he's maybe too positive after a loss, where he's mm-hmm. like, well, we'll get better, and we just didn't have it today, and, you know, it's not that big a deal.
One or two plays,
like,
here and there.
Yeah, it's like, Coach, you had him, and instead of running Jalen Hurd on third and an inch, you ran Alvin Kamara, and he didn't get it, and then you kicked a field goal. Like, wasn't that a bad call? And he goes, and he, like, says, well, I don't know. I think Josh Heupel would be too positive rather than too negative if I had to pick a side.
We will see.
I feel like first year, just knowing where we're at.
I think he needs to be positive.
Yeah, because I also...
Especially
I know
based on the last 3 years.
There's that, and when you also look at the roster, I don't know, man, if like some of those Pruitt guys... It just varies based off the individual on the roster.
He needs to be positive with them. I just don't want him to tell us how everything's fine if we're having a just completely awful year, even worse than what we've projected.
Mm-hmm.
just acknowledge when you're not good enough. But keep the guys positive.
I was going to say, yeah, you can't just beat them down.
Just got to be about moving forward.
I'll look up the Cincinnati presser. I mean, they lost 36-33 on that one.
I don't know. The only thing I ever rebuilt as a coach, I never got down. We got beat the first year because it was all about how do you get better for the next year? How do you, you know, what do we take out of this? Like if you, that, what is that, Davey?
Nothing that I can control.
You don't hear that?
I hear it. I can't control it. I don't know where it's coming from. Isn't the
headphones or? Oh, well. Figure it out.
It's not me.
Huh. Probably, I mean, you probably can't hear it on the radio.
Should we hit a break and just try to figure this out?
Yeah, I guess so. We're on it anyway.
You get over there, Dave? All right.
It's the computer.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll come back on one.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios. Fox,
you know
Sports,
what
Fox
happened?
Football. What happened?
It got too damn hot.
It is supposed to be really hot today.
97.
Hottest day of the year, allegedly.
Good. Get it over with.
Yeah. We don't want
That's
that.
What I always say.
We don't want that rolling around for football season.
No. So, Dave, you were watching a little post-game presser with the Hypester? What'd you think?
Yeah, I was just kind of curious how he'd
perform in those situations. What'd you think? Was it cringy?
Well, it wasn't. I don't know. It was like the reporters got him outside of the locker room to ask him questions. It wasn't like he was behind a podium.
No, I noticed this, that's a lot about UCF. Like, their media availability for coaches is always just very, very strange.
I
don't want to say unprofessional looking, but low budget.
I didn't really have anything to be critical of. He started off, this was not this year Cincinnati lost, but one where they lost 27-24, according to the little summary there. He started off by saying, you know, I'm proud of the way the guys competed, but not happy with the result. Need to work on getting better. So, and then they would kind of, he didn't speak long before he just started taking questions.
Okay, so not a big opening, drag it out, blah, blah, blah guy, like just that. Yeah. Like very Mike
Leach.
You
could tell he looked.
Disappointed.
He was not happy with, one, the outcome. And
well, that's good, because the last two guys we've had, they lose, and they're just like, well, we got to get better and work harder.
Part of the problem, too, was he was at least willing to point out the mistakes. He was talking, or at least one of the questions was having to deal with not performing well in the red zone. He said, you know, we had a couple of opportunities early on in the first quarter, and we only walked away with 3 points. So you get in that situation, you can't. You have to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and we failed to do that.
Okay, I can live with those. That's fine. I did see UCF fans complaining that he was always surprised when teams would drop 7 or 8 into coverage, like all the time, every time. And it's like, buddy, teams now know they can do that and get you. So prepare for 8-man coverages. So. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what
it'll be interesting to see how teams approach Josh Heupel and what.
Especially in this conference.
Yeah, because it's always different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get different types of athletes. Obviously, Tennessee is a little undermanned in that department this year. I don't know if Davey got that list pulled up from yesterday.
Yeah.
About the returners
I can
whatever
find
it was.
You mentioned that, but just kind of staying on the topic, Houston, you mentioned of. You know, the defenses would drop back and only rush 3. I mean, Mike Leach saw that a ton last year after, I think it was the Arkansas game, where teams realized they could just start to do that.
No, because Odom did that to – he did it to them with success, and then he also did it to Ole Miss.
So I hope Heupel's at least aware enough to see, like, okay, well, this is what happened in the SEC last year. There's a good chance we're going to be facing these fronts. I remember when I was watching SEC Media Days, I mean, they were just talking about Coach Leach. He threw it 80% of the time, which was the most in Division I football. And when you do stuff like that, you're obviously going to face those types of defenses. Now, granted, they say that Heupel's going to want to run the ball a lot more than that. But
well, that'll help. I mean, if we can block anybody and run at all, then you're not going to be able to drop 8. So that'll be good. And I think we have a talented enough offensive line to where we should be able to get some push, at least against the lower half of the schedule.
We always knew he was talented, and you look at the news that came out yesterday as it relates to the Kansas City Chiefs and their training camp, but I'm at least trying to feel better about the fact that at least Will Friend is not on this roster or this coaching staff to work with this roster. And Trey Smith is already slotted in as a starting guard.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that yesterday?
Yeah. Pretty cool news.
A couple, like what, 3 weeks of actual coaching by a real offensive line coach and starting for the Chiefs.
Granted, I mean, that could change. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but anytime you have a rookie that gets drafted where he does, I couldn't tell you the last time I saw them come in and they were taking reps with the first unit.
Right, yeah. No, it was great news for him. Steal by the Chiefs to get him as late as they did.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he...
Mike Farrell was hitting that block button fairly frequently yesterday.
Like, I understood his point. I don't know why he made it when he did, considering all the health issues that Trey Smith had while he was here. But, I mean, this is just, like, proof that you get competent coaching. And, I mean, we always knew Trey Smith had the talent, right? I mean, you could argue, like, every year here he got worse because of just absolute terrible coaching and lack of any type of development.
Yeah, well, you combine that with the health issue, and it was just awful. It's tough.
I would say even last year, I don't remember games where I'm like, man, he's dominating at least, and now he's probably going to start for the Chiefs.
We had TVA.
We did have TVA.
You know, the offensive line is just such a.
We'll always have TVA.
It's such a cohesive unit. Like it can't. It's really hard to have just one offensive lineman playing great if the whole group isn't working together to do their job. I mean, I guess that kind of proves you got one 5-star offensive lineman, you got 4 2-star guys, your offensive line's not going to be very good. Like you can't, usually you got to have two really good offensive linemen and then 3 guys that are
solid,
that can at least hold their own to even survive, especially in this conference.
We got Dane Davis, bud.
It actually should give you hope that maybe some of the lower-rated guys will be better.
I mean, I think they'll all be better. Like, Cade Mays has the talent. Cooper Mays has the talent. I think you've got bodies, surely to God. With a little bit of coaching, they can be significantly better.
No, I think you can be where you need to for where we've kind of set expectations. I mean, don't go crazy and think you're just going to start, resetting the line of scrimmage 5 yards downfield against Georgia or anything.
I wonder what it was, though. Like, was it just too difficult? Was it too simple? Like, did we ask him to do too much, or did we not put enough on him?
Dude, I think we still underestimate how awful every position can become when your head coach, doesn't.
I thought you were going to say quarterback.
Do what?
Well, I was about to.
Yeah. I had it right there.
So both. Really both. You said it the other day. You're like, how does Alabama keep, like they have all new coaches.
Mm-hmm.
But when the head man's the same and he sets the standard and, I mean, that's just.
Well,
Tennessee had the exact opposite of Nick
good
Saban.
Quarterback play can make everything look better anyway.
That's also true.
I mean.
Don't disagree.
2016.
I know they said, we put more on our quarterback than anyone, right? Like, I just don't know that I buy that. But, like, if JG's not checking protection or identifying the mic correct, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he doesn't know how to do that, which.
No good coach does that, though, where they're like, I'm going to put a lot on a guy who can't handle it.
Right,
right, right.
I mean, Lincoln Riley, he simplifies everything for his quarterback. He might have a play he loves, but if the quarterback can't efficiently run it, they just chuck it from the playbook.
That's what, I mean, Heupel said the exact same thing. He's like, I want to run what you're comfortable with. He said, if I give you, 10 plays and you really don't like number 8, let me know, because I don't want you out there running a play you hate.
I mean, I know it was the worst game in his career, but JG, whenever we're playing Kentucky, there were just so many mistakes that he made before the ball was even snapped that you look back on and you're just like, the fact they kept him in as long as they did and that they weren't willing to try something else out, it's frustrating. And from a fan perspective, when I know that you could say, you guys aren't at the practice facility, you don't get to see what the other guys do, but it's like, well, I know what this one does when he's in the game. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he hurts you so much more than he helps you is a reason in and of itself to just take him out. Like, I look back on the fumble where JG didn't make sure everyone else knew what was going on, and his running back runs right into him to cause a fumble, and Kentucky gets the ball. And like, it's just small things like that that just, one, the guy, I don't want to take a shot at him, but he's not the most mentally strong person there is. When things start to break down, not the guy that's going to be like, you know what, I'm going to pick myself up by the bootstraps and figure it out.
No, it was quicksand with JG. Like, one bad thing happened. You needed to pull him right then because he wasn't going to climb out of the hole. He just wasn't going to do it. Impossible.
Ned, I do have that article on stability.
Mm. Oh, God. I saw it.
Yeah.
What's the exact title of this list? Yeah,
Come back and dive into it in a second.
Bill Conley, ESPN staff writer, put the list and is entitled College Football 2021 Stability Rankings, Rating All 130 FBS Teams by Coaches, Roster, and Performance. And then his little blurb to get things going, the words, quote, college football, and quote, stability, don't go together all that well. Such is life when your livelihood is based on the whims of a pointy ball, eccentric boosters, and a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old players. In this sport, drama is never far from the surface. In a conference realignment earthquake, OU and Texas to the SEC, anyone? Which, that vote's happening today, and it looks as though all 14 teams, or mm-hmm. all 14 schools, will be in favor of adding those two very prestigious institutions to this conference. But anyway, always seem to loom on the horizon. That said, stability still exists in some forms for some teams. Stability atop your team's coaching staff can create a reliable identity. Stability on your two deep in a given year can give you a higher floor and a greater margin for error. Stability isn't the same as quality, but it can certainly help. Who are college football's most stable programs heading into 2021? To answer that question, I'm going to rely on a good old standby, an arbitrary scoring system, and here's how it will work. And I can talk about it, but their coaching ability, roster stability, and performance ability. And then we can get into where these teams actually shake out.
There you have it. We'll come back with that final segment, hour number one, talking Tennessee football. Feels good. Stick with us. Final segment, hour number one. Talking stability ratings. I don't care that Tennessee is lowly rated in stability. I mean, we know that. This isn't like a I was surprised it was as low as it was, but
I mean, you're telling me Kansas is really more stable than us? No way.
Okay.
They got Leopold. They're ready to go.
That has nothing to do with him being stable, though. He's a first-year head coach at Kansas.
Yeah, I just
Yeah, but
I don't want to be stable coming off what we had. I want to Bruce Pearl this thing. I want something completely different than the last guy.
We're stable, but terrible. Yeah.
When you have a first-year coach, you don't really want to be stable.
Well, the number one ranked team in all of this is Wyoming. Like, okay, Wyoming's stable. They haven't been all that great lately.
I will never forget the year. I think it was even pre-James Franklin, where Vanderbilt was like, "We're returning 21 starters.
Seems to happen there a lot.
We're gonna be so much better this year." And they went from, you know, whatever, like 3-8 to, you know, 2-9 or something. I was like, "Okay, great, cool.
Way to bring all those great players."
I feel like that was a Franklin year.
I said before Franklin.
Oh, before Franklin.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was like back in the 11 game schedule pre Franklin.
I saw Derek Mason do that.
It was just like,
who did they open the season with that one year? And everyone's like, oh, we have a good year coming. And the game kept getting delayed. It might have been like UMass. And like UMass beat them pretty bad on like a Thursday night SEC season opener.
I don't remember that one. I remember, like, didn't Mississippi State go on the road and lose to UMass once to start the year? It was something like that.
The worst game I've ever been at in my life from an entertainment value was UMass when they came in here and Butch Jones's last year.
That was the worst game I've ever seen. It was brutal. They were so bad.
It was hot, too.
It was so hot.
I left at halftime, and I just said, I'm not doing it.
I should have left at halftime. Well, Nate, you teased it.
Yep. Where do we rank, Davey?
Out of 130 teams. I thought he already did that.
Double fist all right. Today.
Hey, go. At least we did get it a little bit of a blurb, though. Not everyone got a blurb.
Nice.
Yep.
But real quickly, just as it relates to coaching stability, you can get up to 20 points. Points will be awarded according to three factors: how long your current coach has been on the job, how many head coaches you've had over the past 5 years. That one doesn't bode well for us. And how many coordinators you've had to replace this offseason.
Yes. All of them. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So you'd get like the full 20 points if you didn't have to do any replacing. So like Air Force, Clemson, Iowa, MTSU, Navy, Oklahoma State, Stanford, and Utah get the full 20 points.
Good for them.
Roster stability. This will be based on two factors: your returning production averages and the number of players you've lost to the transfer portal since the start of last season. Well, we already know where we're at there. I think we have the worst grade of any team in all of football when it comes to roster turnover, because we have the most people in the transfer portal.
Do you know how many we had?
It's a very common number in our...
It's at 37. Yep. We ran off 37 dudes. Good gravy.
And then performance stability.
But we got some good ones back.
And then Conley says this category is a bit blurrier. It asks three general questions. One, how well have you done recently? We know the answer. We'll derive this from your five-year average SP+ rating. Number two, how consistent have you been? We'll use the standard deviation of your last 5 years. So, I mean,
consistently bad.
Yeah. And then how many games did you play last year? This one is 2021 specific, obviously. So you take all that into consideration, and then you scroll and you scroll and you scroll. And I have to scroll all the way to the bottom because out of 130 programs, your Tennessee Volunteers come in at 127th.
Holy cow. 127
out of 130.
To give you some reference,
you're tied with Kansas also. They list them at 128, but you have the exact same score as they do.
There you go, Adam. We're not worse than Kansas.
Vanderbilt's at 125.
Yes.
The Fighting Tyson Helton's coming at 126.
Is he still there?
I didn't think he'd get fired.
Yeah, he's still there.
He got fired. They hired somebody that was here not long ago to their staff, like this offseason. I should probably look that up before I get into it. UCF's at 124.
Mm-hmm.
They lost a lot, too. UMass, speaking of them, 123. South Carolina, 122. And Texas, 121. So
obviously, teams that had a coaching change this year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're gonna be fairly low on the list.
And you mentioned Kansas at 128. Buffalo, they were 129. So they said Lance Leopold left for Kansas in the spring, and while he didn't leave a bare cupboard for successor Maurice Linguist,
Linguist,
a lot of players suddenly entered the transfer portal, many for Kansas.
They followed Leopold to Kansas.
Yeah, and then Old Dominion.
Did we get a UCF transfer? We
didn't. 130.
ODU.
But as I mentioned, for roster stability, Tennessee had the worst rating in the country.
At 0.7?
0.7, yeah. Performance stability, 6.7. So I guess we do get to thank Butch Jones for 2016 for kind of keeping that one somewhat there.
Okay.
Is it last 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Shouts out. One of the best seasons we've had in the last 20 years.
But the write-up.
Oh, God.
Only two teams had more than 23 guys lost to the transfer portal. Kansas had 27, and Tennessee had 37. They put that in italics. Some of those were
and two exclamation marks, but
gotta get that one in there too. Some of those were walk-ons. Not every player was a projected difference maker by any means, but the Vols are the dictionary definition of unstable this season. There's still enough raw upside that Josh Heupel could create some first-year magic, And then in parentheses, he writes, I wouldn't predict that, but it's technically possible.
Technically possible.
But after constant drama on both the 2-deep and coaching staff, it's probably best to just not make any predictions about the Vols either way.
That was a classy way to say that. I feel like
he could have twisted the knife.
Yeah, but he didn't. He didn't. So I appreciate that. Just said, hey, well, you might get lucky, but I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I don't. If you said, hey, if you run a bunch of metrics on this team, it's really unstable from where it's been the last couple of years, I'd be like, hell yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Good.
It's just so
this
weird.
This list isn't shocking, which is kind of, I mean, it's.
The Vol for Lifers would be very shocked.
No.
This is why we should have kept Pruitt.
They wouldn't be shocked because the one thing they harp is you got to keep a coach for 5 years.
Oh, well.
Like, that's like they strongly believe that. But
so they'd attribute getting rid of Jeremy Pruitt to the reason why we're so.
They'll be mad at this list, whereas rational people are like, oh, yeah, this is good.
Like, it's weird. Going back to my psychology experiment. They do believe that Jeremy Pruitt should have been fired for the violations. Most of them do. Obviously, not everyone falls in there, but they're like, you know what? You can't cheat. They're like, you know.
Well, most of those people are very black and white with do it the right way.
But had the recruiting violations not been an issue, they would not have fired Jeremy Pruitt. They would have wanted him back for another year.
That's scary.
So they keep harping, and the number one comment is you can't build a program changing coaches every 2 to 3 years. And I'm like, well, I understand that that is true, but there's no point in keeping a coach that's not going to be here. Like, having a coach stay for year 4 and 5 just because you want to create stability isn't going to do anything if the coach doesn't know what he's doing and is a bad coach.
Right.
That's the concept they can't wrap their head around. They're like, well, it took Johnny Majors a long time. I was like, that was in the 1970s, guys. Like, I don't know what you want me to tell you. The sports changed a lot since then.
I mean, how? How at a place like Tennessee do you just mess it up so bad? Especially in football. Like, we haven't even gotten lucky with all these. Like, you know what? Like, you think one out of three, like, one out of four, you'd hit one guy that's like, okay, he's not terrible. But instead, Dooley was a nightmare.
I feel like Butch was that guy that wasn't terrible.
He went 4-8. He had the worst season in Tennessee football history at the time.
I'm not defending.
In year five. Like, you're supposed to be getting better.
I'm not defending Butch Jones. But what I will say is, at the time, the problem was the administration. If you had somebody in place that knew what they were doing,
you
would have fired him after 2016 and just say, Butch, we appreciate what you've done, but we can just tell you've reached the maximum point that you're going to when it comes to building this football program. We're going
to
move
in
a different direction.
The minute you lost to South Carolina, you should have sent him packing and said, we got something here, we can work with this. But instead, you kept him, you brought him back, and that's when you lost guys like Jalen Hurd, obviously Kamara ended up going to the draft. Like, you lost everybody.
And, yeah, I mean, like, all the stories kept coming out about the culture. It was just...
Fell on a helmet.
You knew things were bad. Was that 16 or 17?
The helmet thing?
Yeah.
17.
Okay. So you could have avoided that. Obviously, we had that to point back to, but...
He would have been the perfect stepping stone coach.
Right, if you don't keep him for year five. But instead of doing that,
we
wanted stability. So we would have been higher on this ranking. And
who was a realistic coach you guys think we could have gotten if after Butch Jones consistently got us to a point where we go 8-4.
I played this game one time. So what year are we talking about?
16.
I'll find the list.
So it would have been the technically 2017 coaching carousel?
Yeah. The coaches that would have been hired in like December of 16 or January of 17.
I mean, because you go 9-4 back-to-back years. I mean, the pool of coaches you're choosing from, a lot different.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, you're attracting, you know, big names instead of having to settle for a guy like Pruitt.
Also, 16-17?
Yeah.
Head coaching changes that we want? Like, when – what's a big one?
Tom Herman?
Tom Herman, right? Yeah, because I got Major Applewhite replaced the 2016 coach Tom Herman. That's the right year, right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right, continue talking, Davey, and I'll come back.
What I was going to say is – you look at it, and you see how a lot of programs tackle trying to find that head coach. Tennessee just kept getting turned down, And instead of being direct and trying to actually make a play, they just always settled for the bottom of the barrel. And when you do that and you don't get anyone that is technically going to, it's just going to be a flyer. You're just taking a chance. There's no sustained success from this coach. And you look at it with Derek Dooley, terrible record at Louisiana Tech. But they're like, well, he's Vince's kid. Maybe he can redo that. And like, it's just like, man, that's not how it works. And then with Butch, just followed in Brian Kelly's coattails every step of the way. And I think he would have been a good bridge as far as getting the fan base back on top. Because, like, what's crazy is, like, the most fun I've had in Neyland Stadium post-2005 is a Butch Jones coach team.
Yeah.
So, but again, like, there would have been some fans that probably would have been mad. And
oh, sure.
Back,
no, there would have been.
But we know now it would have been the right decision. Mm-hmm. Because we just saw it fall tremendously after 2016.
JG.
Jamie Chadwell took over that year.
Could have got him. That'd be fun. I mean, it never would have happened, but I'd have taken it.
Could have got Tom Allen. He went to Indiana that year.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Is that the only good? Is that it? Those are the only names we got?
Sean Elliott.
Was that was that the year that Scott Frost went to UCF?
It's the year Matt Rhule went to Baylor.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
Uh-huh.
PJ Fleck to Minnesota.
Justin Wilcox went to Cal. Could have brought him back.
Edo went to LSU.
Luke Fickell went to Cincinnati.
Justin Wilcox was a damn good defensive coordinator.
Lane Kiffin went to FAU.
It wouldn't have worked because he was awesome. Already there, but Lincoln Riley, that was his first season as the head coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh. Mm. PJ Fleck.
That's what he just said.
Yeah.
Nah.
Sorry, I'm reading to them. Jay Norvell.
Yeah, Willie Taggart dodged a bullet there.
Who?
He's the Nevada coach, right?
Jay Norvell.
I'm just thinking Mike Norvell. I don't know. Like, I know Jay. Are they brothers?
Maybe. Can't remember. Mm-hmm. Jeff Brom.
Got him.